Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
Welcome, Extra Points listeners, and congratulations on making it through yet another week. Good news, the weekend awaits with its enchanting promises of endless sports and free time that ends up with you screaming silently at some jerk in the Costco parking lot instead. Or maybe I'm just projecting. Either way, we know how hard you work, and while we hope listening to all our shows makes that time go a little faster, we don't want that to feel like work in and of itself. So we've had our producers pick out their favorite bits and put them together in a half-hour supercut for you to sample. I know, I can't believe we have producers either. If you like something, check out the full episode the next week wherever you get your podcasts. In the meantime, thanks for supporting the network. And let me just say from the bottom of my heart as the co-founder that I sincerely hope your favorite team still loses to mine. Enjoy the shows.
The perfect way to kick off this best of with diehard Chiefs fan and very funny actor Rob Riggle joined Sarah Tiana and Dave Damashek on Extra Points. They ask him, will Travis Kelce retire alongside brother Jason if the Chiefs win the Super Bowl?
If the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, do you think that Travis and Jason retire together so that they can go on the Hall of Fame together?
Well, that would be nice, but I don't think that's going to happen. I know nothing, by the way. This is my gut.
This is just you.
Yeah, just my opinion is Travis has a lot of football left in him. Mm-hmm. Still, I think he wants to go play. I think he wants to play for as long as all athletes want to play as long as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got three or four more years in him. As far as if you listen to him talk and his energy and his mentality and his mindset. I think he wants to keep playing. So I just don't see him retiring at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I know that you don't know anything. You haven't been invited to the suite. So we all know where you stand in the Kelce chopping block. But I think it's a big possibility because I do see Jason retiring and I could see Travis retiring to pursue things outside of football before he gets any more injured. And how he's already said that nursing those injuries every summer has gotten harder and harder. It's harder and harder for him to come back to injury. And I see him being like The Rock. I see him becoming this actor, entertainer, broadcaster. I see him doing much more than just being an analyst or anything after football. So
they are media stars, both of them side by side doing that show together. I cannot get over that they came from the same parents. The nature versus nurture debate is hereby over when you look at Travis and Jason Kelce. Look at their fashion sense. Look at the way they can pour. No, those two are from the same house. Weird,
those
right?
Those two grew up in different locker rooms.
Okay.
Jason grew up with offensive linemen and Travis grew up with wide receivers. And that's the difference.
Well, also, you know what I love about their podcast too is they're just so true to themselves on that thing. You know, they really are. They're not trying to soften anything, or they still use that harsh locker room language, you know, on their podcast. That's not going to change. It's who they are. And I dig it. I really do. I love listening to them talk. Yeah. I love listening to them because they do give you the raw feed and it's fantastic. So, and you know what, you bring up a good point there that, you know, what you described, because I never, you know, it's denial. It's my denial. I don't want to I don't want to think about him retiring. But you're right. You know, it gets harder and harder, I imagine, every offseason to repair yourself and get back out there and take another savage beating, you know, because every game is a car wreck on your body. And so you may have something. I don't know. I hope it's not true. I hope we get some more years out of him, but that's me being selfish. But if he did hang it up, no one deserves it more than he does. So.
Yeah, I think as football fans, obviously, we love watching him play. We love watching them both play. We love seeing them interact on the field. But I just remember even at Big Slick last summer, he couldn't play in the softball game because his back was bothering him. And it's like, oh, man, you know, he's like still nursing it in the middle of June, or, you know, so I just I could see it being a lot, but he is so motivated and he's so competitive. He might not give it up anymore.
To keep with the Chiefs theme here on Trendy, Toby Mergler and Brett Coromanos discuss the duo of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and how they both benefit from each other as they head to yet another Super Bowl.
Shouldn't that lead to even more Mahomes arguments, though? Like, is Mahomes a system quarterback? You never hear that argument. Not that I'm making it. I'm not crazy enough to make it. But what you're basically saying right now is Andy Reid is an offensive genius, and then he's got a guy who's just pulling the trigger on his excellent schemes.
Well, I mean, I think it's always going to be a bit of both, and you never know. And that's what I'm saying is this is where it's really hard to like tell where to give credit to. Like, is Reed just a pretty good offensive coach that like puts the border of the puzzle together, and then he has this brilliant guy that can, build it all in 2 seconds in Mahomes? Or is it, Reed has these concepts? I mean, look, one of the things that I think Reed needs to get credit for that has made Mahomes great is just the fact that the Chiefs are constantly one of the league leaders in pass rate over expectation. Like, they are throwing the ball where most teams are running it. And if there's and part of that is got to be the belief in Mahomes being great. So you want to put the ball in his hands as much as possible. But, I mean, that is something that still requires guts. Like, it's hard to go in. I mean, I remember this one clip of Mike McDaniel and the Dolphins being like, somebody tell me if I'm crazy, I'm just going to call all pass plays this drive. Like, there is that mentality that you can't just drop back to pass all the time, but it kind of takes a little bit of, offensive ingenuity to throw out different formations where teams can't just load up on the pass, but still put Mahomes in good spots. So I do think Reed gets credit for that. But when you look at like the off platform throws, the way that he adds value with his legs, I mean, just the weird connection he has with Travis Kelce that has come back in the playoffs. I mean, he is a great quarterback. Reed is for sure a very good offensive mind, if not a great one. But it's hard to tell where one starts and the other begins,
Yeah, I mean, look, I've spent a lot of my capital on this show making Mahomes bets, so this certainly is not an anti-Patrick Mahomes argument whatsoever. I just think the discourse is interesting. Like, we've already wanted to fast forward into calling this guy the greatest of all time, even though that 2 years ago, it was completely and utterly settled law that Brady was the best of all time. And all of a sudden, like 2 years later, the books have been open, and it seems like everybody is rushing to crown Mahomes. And the only way I can come up with that making sense, since Mahomes is on his way to maybe a third title and Brady's already banked 7, is that you just give Belichick too much of the credit for the Brady pie for all those championships. And I just think it's odd that Andy Reid, another guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, another guy who's separated himself through the generations as one of the best coach of any anybody to ever do it, like, just gets dismissed in a way that Brady and Belichick are inextricably linked. So I just don't get it. I don't see how we could say Brady was the best ever 2 years ago as he was putting on his 7th ring, and all of a sudden Mahomes is the best to ever do it, unless this is purely to say, look at the talent on him. Come on. Like, this is clearly the best, most talented guy. He certainly isn't the most accomplished until he's got another 4 or 5 chips under his belt.
Well, here's the thing that I would find interesting about that is the arc of Brady and Belichick was a lot different than the arc of Mahomes and Reed, right? Because when the Patriots first started winning, it was Belichick's defense that Brady was managing the game for. And then Brady became Brady, and you got that 2007 or 2008 season with Randy Moss where they just absolutely obliterated teams and, like, you couldn't make a point spread high enough. And then Brady was Brady. But you had that start, at least, where, like, Belichick's defensive genius was giving him a platform to go win. And I think that's why it was looked more as like a partnership. Where when Mahomes came onto the scene, he was sat the first year, but when he first came in and first started, like, from the beginning, it was Mahomes. It wasn't the Chiefs defense that was winning things for him. He wasn't a game manager that got a couple of Super Bowls. He was the guy being the driving force.
Spoiler alert, they're only in the Super Bowl because of their defense.
I know. This year, that's what I was saying. The arcs are weird because this year, I was going to bring that up, they shut down Lamar and the Ravens to get to a Super Bowl. So, like, it's so weird to see how these arcs have completely shifted the perspective on these two players.
Yeah, Money Mahomes could not generate any points in the second half of a championship game, couldn't get that second passing touchdown, couldn't do all the sorts of things he always does, and is still, you know, heading into Las Vegas with that pristine reputation and, you know, kind of a clean resume. So I think the idea that the defense carried the Pats and Brady rode that defense at the beginning certainly has some historical truth to it, but we cannot whitewash out what the Chiefs are doing right now. And in an un-Mahomes year, nobody's going to remember that 5 years from now. It was actually the defense that carried him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Jones, you know, Snead, McDuffie, like all those guys were absolutely dominant. I mean, Jones, it seemed like every play that Lamar was dropping back, which is something that we could talk about, was how many times Lamar was dropping back in that game. You know, it seemed like Jones was just in there at his legs. You know, he was a monster. And I don't think he gets a lot of credit, obviously, for being great, but he is definitely a co-reason why they're in the Super Bowl again this year.
Let's take a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns Stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Transitioning to the AFC title game loser, the Baltimore Ravens, Dave Damashek is joined by Martin Weiss on -3 and asked him what would happen if in the 2018 NFL draft another team picked Lamar Jackson before the Baltimore Ravens did.
Let's do some NFL, and I don't know if this is going to make Ravens fans feel better or worse, but let's dig in on it. A lot of people have said, so Baker Mayfield, your first overall draft pick in 2018. Josh Allen a few down, and Josh Rosen is in that mix, and Sam Darnold goes 3 to the Jets, as we all know. And then way down there at the back end, look who falls in the Ravens' lap as Joe Flacco running out the string. You know, he's no longer in his prime. There's Lamar Jackson. But of course, what do you make of this? Lamar Jackson could have been drafted. People talk in 2014 that Leonard Fournette was a mistake with the fourth overall pick in 20. I should say the Jags in 2017 set themselves up with a pivotal piece to make a Super Bowl push with Blake Bortles. Bad as that is, and those hideous helmets, even worse, they draft Leonard Fournette fourth overall in 17. A mistake there, maybe, but the bigger mistake was drafting Taven Bryant in 2018, a couple months after they almost got to the Super Bowl, as you'll recall. Is that the critical mistake? And if the Jags write that mistake, how does NFL look different over the last, whatever it is, 6 years now?
Well, I think the ultimate, they just thought they had a bird in hand with Blake Bortles, and you should have taken a hard look and realized that that wasn't going to work out.
Yes.
It's fascinating to think that Lamar, from Florida, by the way, would have loved to have played in Jacksonville, I imagine, because Taven Bryant, I was actually working at the NFL Network during this draft, and I remember cutting all the highlights for all these different players who were slated to go in the first round. And believe it or not, Dave, you may remember this. I remember it vividly because we always kind of ran the package of quarterbacks like four horsemen. It was like the four horsemen with Baker and Darnold and Allen and Rosen. And I was like, dude, there's a guy who just won the Heisman not too long ago who's eligible for this draft, but he wasn't talked about in those regards. So it's kind of, obviously, it's NFL, so it's hypothetically speaking. But if one other team could have gotten Lamar Jackson, I mean, just imagine if Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots hadn't taken Sony Michel the pick before. That would have been something that would have been, I mean, insane. Because here's the thing. I don't know. Is Jacksonville kind of like one of those teams like the Cowboys, or like of the Cowboys the last 20 years where you just expect them to fall on their faces at some point when your expectations are high, all of a sudden it doesn't matter? Or like, you know, like, but I mean, he obviously would have changed the, I mean, Lamar, backfield with Lamar Jackson and Leonard Fournette would have been incredible.
Right. The set people have looked back and said, you shouldn't take a running back so high in the first round. And that was the Jags' mistake. But of course, Leonard Fournette was a huge factor in running that team as deep as he did in the 2017 season. That's exactly right. Eight with Fournette is a handful. And I guess the cautionary tale that people should look at is, if you have an incumbent QB, is he definitely the guy? Are you definitely sure that you can get away in the 21st century with hiding your quarterback in high leverage moments for year after year? It almost worked. You beat the Steelers, you almost beat the Patriots, but it's going to be diminishing returns. Or should you try to upgrade at the most important position? And I mentioned the Steelers. The Steelers also could have taken him to Lamar Jackson instead of Terrell Edmonds. And I do think the Jags, so that they are the cautionary tale. What becomes of that Jacksonville team with Lamar Jackson is very different than Blake Bortles. But what's really fascinating from this NFC North follower's eyes, at least, is what if the Steelers had taken him? We know Roethlisberger wouldn't have liked it. He didn't like it when they drafted Mason Rudolph. Sure. In the third. So obviously he wouldn't have been happy if they drafted somebody in the first round. But for the sake of the organization, I think you can make a case the Steelers would have been better off either way. What it does do, it takes Lamar Jackson off of the Ravens. What do you suppose happens to the Ravens if they don't get Lamar Jackson in 2018? Do they have to go to the draft in 2019 to replace a fading Joe Flacco? John Harbaugh, by the way, without Lamar Jackson arriving in his rookie season, John Harbaugh and the Ravens have mutually agreed midway through the season to part ways. Then Flacco gets hurt. Then Lamar Jackson goes in there and he runs them into the playoffs, and Harbaugh's job is saved. Harbaugh would be gone. So yes. Who would be the head coach? Who would be the QB of the Baltimore Ravens for the last 5 years?
I mean, you look down at, like, just look at that draft. That was not a quarterback draft, right? Drew Lock second going in that draft, and Kyler Murray obviously was the crown possession.
He's number one, right?
And sorry, I didn't mean to skip right over Daniel Jones there at six, but wasn't a lot of great quarterback options.
Or Haskins,
or Dwayne Haskins, true. Rest in peace. But yeah, I think you're probably looking at them trying to go get a guy like Case Keenum, somebody, because you're at that point, you're in savior job area, right? You're in Xavier job, and he was available at that point, or Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, saying one of these types of guys, because like you said, John Harbaugh and the Ravens, they were on the outs at that period in time.
Oh, he would have been gone. It was done. I'm not speculating. You can find the press releases about it that like, it's been a great run and we're going to part ways and start fresh and all that. And then Lamar Jackson interrupts all that. So I think that Lamar Jackson could have interrupted the trajectory positively if he had gone to another NFL team, but they would have definitely been pointed down. They would have had a new coach for 2019. And like I say, I think they would have, the first move, start of a new era, they would have gotten a new QB to replace Flacco. And I think it would have been because Kyler Murray was number one overall. And that was, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and all that. But they would have been bad with the Ravens. And so then they would have ascended. They were tracking in the wrong direction. They would have wound up with like Dwayne Haskins would have been their solution there. So very different than the way things landed.
Either that or they sign a vet and they try to stay alive for the Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Tank for Tua, Justin Herbert draft and see if they can pull out one of those cyborgs.
Well, that's the other alternative. If we skip past the Jags and the Steelers, option three of teams that were in a spot and reasonably needed a QB. Now you can talk about Roethlisberger, where he was in his career. It would have made some sense to have, you know, much like Rodgers getting drafted under Favre and Love getting drafted under Rodgers. Steelers might have done well to draft Lamar Jackson to, you know, create a path for the next 15 years. But short of doing that, Billy Price, the center, gets drafted by the Bungles in that spot. They obviously should have taken Lamar Jackson. They're glad they didn't because instead they got Joe Burrow. But if they take Lamar Jackson, they're obviously not taking Joe Burrow. So wonder where Joe Burrow winds up with all this math.
Sticking with the Baltimore theme here on Lemon Pepper Parlay with Martin Weiss and Mark Gunnels, the duo discussed, was this the best chance for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to reach a Super Bowl and what's going to happen from here on out?
I want to talk about the Ravens kind of moving forward here, you know, because there's been a lot of talk of, you know, and I agree, this is probably going to be the best chance they ever had. Not saying that they can't ever go to the Super Bowl, because you can go in obviously not so advantageous situations, but I think it's safe to say this was their best clear path. I mean, you had everybody healthy. I mean, everybody. They didn't have no significant injuries at all. They had all 53 men that were there. Marlon Humphrey came back for this game. You were at home, had the one seed, got to play a young Houston Texans team in the divisional round. And then you played what, based on everybody else is telling me, the most vulnerable Chiefs team in the Mahomes era at home. And you had all the guys coming back. You had Ray Lewis there, Ed Reed, Terrell Suggs, T-Pain at halftime, Michael Phelps there. And you didn't even make it out of the AFC. So, I mean, now you're looking at your free agents. You got, obviously, OBJ, Aguilar. You got guys on defense that are going to be free agents. Clowney, Kyle Van Noy. Okay, so, I mean, this is a blown opportunity, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, and, you know, for again, score one for the non-nerds, because this Baltimore team was the DVOA darlings of years past. I mean, of this year, like they were historically one of the best DVOA teams.
Yeah,
you know, and it's, you know, it reminds me of another historic DVOA team, the Buffalo Bills, who, you know, we haven't seen them in the AFC Championship game in a little while now. Let's talk about how great their DVOA is. But yeah, no, I mean, Matabuke is a free agent. You know, it's just the other linebacking core, but it's just a lot of that team. This was the year for Baltimore. This was the year it was set up. And, you know, it's not a hot take that if Lamar Jackson won that game, he's a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame. He would be one of the other two quarterbacks that's active right now that would be Hall of Famers without a doubt. Like, because you look at the list of multiple-time MVPs, and off the top of my head, I'm not going to do it right now, but I – trust me, they're all in the Hall of Fame, are soon to be in the Hall of Fame when Rodgers and Mahomes retired. 5 years after that, they'll be getting fitted for their gold jackets, right? Even if Mahomes decided to retire today before this Super Bowl, he's still a Hall of Famer.
And let's stop down for a quick break here.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Which quarterback in the AFC not named Patrick Mahomes has the best chance to reach a Super Bowl next? Is it Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, or Justin Herbert? Myself, Dave Damashek, and Kevin Hench on -3 discuss the AFC quarterback conundrum.
A quarterback that won two Super Bowls without a first-round bye, Eli Manning. I always argue Eli belongs in the Hall of Fame because he won two Super Bowls. I mean, obviously, he's got pretty impressive raw overall numbers because he played so long. But like the two Super Bowls, that just puts you in this incredibly elite company. And when you look at Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, like two Super Bowls already out of the question. No way any of those guys wins two Super Bowls. The question
That's right.
is who of those guys are going to get zero, you know, and what will Mahomes leave for the other guys to share in that conference as, you know, as he just coasts through his prime, beating these guys over and over and over again. It's really brutal. I mean, I think obviously Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and probably Herbert are all going to go to the Hall of Fame based on their numbers eventually, but they're not going to go to the Hall based on their Super Bowl rings.
I agree with everything you said, except for that very last detail. Lamar Jackson is going to go to the Hall of Fame if he plays for another 3 or 4 years. Two MVPs, it's a certainty. The splash that he made, the way he disrupted our assumptions about pro football and everything else, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Josh Allen's going to go too. I don't know that either one of them is going to ever get a Lombardi, but I also think that we're getting a little loose by saying that Justin Herbert's going to go and Trevor Lawrence was already kissed into the Hall of Fame. And there are a bunch of other guys that we thought were definitely going to be in the Hall of Fame if you would have thought about it 3 years ago, that now you wouldn't be. So they can't give gold jackets to the upper half of the NFL in this era. Well,
Hall of Famer. I'll ask you guys, here's a Hall of Famer, a definite Hall of Famer who probably won't win a Super Bowl. Coming out of the AFC, Aaron Rodgers. What are the odds? I mean, when you think about the guys we just mentioned, how far down are you dropping to consider Aaron Rodgers' potential to win a Super Bowl coming through all those guys we just mentioned? Zero.
He was my pick, actually. I put in the rundown, which quarterback in the AFC would you have to win outside of Mahomes? And my dark horse pick would have been Rodgers, because I think the Bills and the Ravens have a lot of like roster changes. And I think the Jets are still a very young roster. So sneakily would have been my pick, being Ooh. Honest. Yeah. There's enough there in the defense.
I legitimately think, and you can feel that, like, you know, for as much as we could glean from Hard Knocks, you could feel like we knew Aaron Rodgers coming in was a weird guy. He's gotten weirder in the last 6 months. But you could feel like doesn't make a difference here in training camp. Like, it's not like we're talking about conspiracy theories. We're talking about X's and O's and, you know, this tenured guy teaching the young guys. I don't think it works. I think he's going to the weird stuff continues with that guy. That's not helpful. And, you know, the Nate Hackett, the caddy has to be here thing is weird stuff. And the mess, if you've been following it this week, that the New York Jets are, forget about them. I almost think, here's the hottest take I can give you on this, because I know the Bills, and if I were a Buffalo Bills fan, I would think you're insane for floating this. But obviously the Bills would never for any reason get move on from Josh Allen in football terms. But in a way, the results are in. They're not going, to your point, they're not going to beat Patrick Mahomes multiple times between now and the end of Josh Allen's career, right? So aren't you better off in a way, and I know we fixate a lot about getting a quarterback, the real deal QB, first round draft pick, while he's on his rookie deal. But on some level, aren't you better off if that's who you are versus having the guy making $50 million? Now, like the Ravens, to Eddie Spaghetti's point, are going to be a lot different and worse than they were by the next time we see him. I mean, that the rating of the coaching staff and the personnel department and the free agents they're going to lose, that's going to be a worse Ravens team by the next time we see him. On some level, you're better off. I know I sound like a homer saying this. I'd kind of rather be the Pittsburgh Steelers as they're set up right now than the Baltimore Ravens as a side-by-side comparison, right? Look, at least
Most football fans agree. You'd rather have Mason Rudolph than Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. That track,
all right. Okay, right? I said it was a hot take that didn't make any sense, but you understand what I'm saying too, though, you wise.
Well, Jim Harbaugh has departed Michigan for sunny Los Angeles. Myself and Jen Piacenti on Waiver Wire discussed the impact he'll have on the Chargers offense and his comments about being starstruck with Justin Herbert.
Jim Harbaugh is going to be with the Chargers. How do you feel about this? I mean,
My first question to you, He said he was starstruck by meeting Justin Herbert. You think who was more starstruck? Was it Herbert meeting this like wacky head coach? I'm a Harbaugh fan. This wacky kind of crazy guy that's so many like weird stories about him and like how he, you know, met his wife and like he refused to eat chicken for years because it was like a scared bird, all this crazy stuff. And then he goes and says he was starstruck. He was starstruck meeting Justin Herbert. I'm like, I don't think that's such a weird thing to say for a grown man, for a quarterback who's really like 30 years younger.
It is totally weird, but I have to tell you, Jim, I know what you're talking about because I had field passes for the Chiefs-Chargers game and I was walking on the field before the game and Justin Herbert was out there doing his like, you know, leg lifts. He was like, you know, mm-hmm. He was like zen at this thing and I was totally starstruck. But Jim, it's a little different coming from me. So yeah.
You're his head coach.
Maybe you should revisit this with your wife.
You're his head coach. You're his leader. You can't say you're starstruck by the court. Now the quarterback owns the locker room, not you. But I do think, unfortunately, this goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning. You're in a conference with Patrick Mahomes, and then not even just Patrick Mahomes. You're in a conference with Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. So, yes, Justin Herbert's awesome.
Yes,
but every player on that roster, I feel like outside of Herbert, is like their contract is up. Like Eckler's going to be gone. Yes. They have to figure out how to keep Keenan Allen because he had a monster season, even with all their quarterback struggles. You know, Mike Williams never really panned out to where they wanted to be. And then, you know, Bosa is always injured. And I feel like, you know, on the defensive end, they're like decide they're always banged up guys missing time. So it's going to be a struggle for him for the foreseeable future because you're in a division that I think you could almost make the case that like, they may be fighting, depending on what Denver does at quarterback, which is a huge question mark, they may be the worst team, which is crazy.
Maybe.
Because if they lose these guys.
You're rebuilding here.
If they lose, like, Derwin James and Bosa, so they can't figure out how to keep Keenan Allen. I'm just saying, like, if they hit a home run at quarterback in Denver and the Raiders seem to be fired up playing for Antonio Pierce, and I think they're certainly have their ups and downs, but I see, like, those three teams, like, all around that, like, 7-9 win range potentially. So like
Chargers are going to be better than the Raiders. I'm glad that they hired Antonio Pierce, but that is going to wear off. I think that was a temporary thing. They were excited, whatever. That is not a long-term situation. Their defense will be better, but they're going to win with Aiden O'Connell.
Oh, no. I mean, no, they're not, but
no.
No.
Yeah,
I would love to see Russ go to Vegas and throw to Davante Adams.
Yeah, I would too, actually.
Yeah,
I would actually dig that. I think that would be fun.